Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. You'll notice we're at the beginning of the sixth perek, perek Shloisha Minim. On the side of our Gemara text, you can see we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads Dvorim Ho Asurim Benozir. The Mishnah features those elements that are prohibited, restricted in Nazirus. The Mishnah Shloisha Minin Asurim Benozir. The word Minin is a curious word, and in context we'll translate it as categories. There are three categories of prohibition with regard to a Nozir. Hatuma, the prohibition of defiling to the dead. Vatiglachas, the haircut restriction. Vayoytzi, minagefen, and consumption of those products that are from the grapevine. Vechol hayoytzi minagefen mitstarfim zemzeh, and all the products that come from the vine will join with one another to complete the minimum shi'ur, the minimum quantity of an olive, which would then result in a nazirus violation upon its consumption. V'ein chayev ad shi'ochal min ho'anovim kezayis. There is no prohibition or no violation until you eat an olive quantity of grapes. Likewise, an olive quantity of any of the other substances. The Rashi adds, importantly, at the second line from the bottom, Eino chayav ad shiuchal minu hanavim kezayis, vuadin nami shechayav al zag v'chartzon. Likewise, if you eat a zag and chartzon, which has to do with grape peels, grape seeds, Elo ho asash minin. The point of the Mishnah here is the Eino chayav elo b'kezayis, that there's no violation until you eat the minimum olive quantity. The point here of the Mishnah that features the grapes is to the exclusion of another shita that we'll see later in the Gemara. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Mishnah Rishona Achiyishte Revius Yayin. According to the first teaching, the early teaching, there would be no violation in terms of wine drinking until you drink a revius. A revius is a liquid quantity. You would have to drink that minimum amount in order to be considered in violation. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Afilu Shora Pito B'yayin V'yesh Bo Kidei Litzarif Kizayas Chayav. Rabbi Kiva is in this context a later teaching, and he says that with regard to wine and quantities, one would be in violation even if he took some bread and soaked it in wine, and altogether you have an olive quantity of soaked bread, that too would be a nozir violation. So that as far as wine consumption, a kezayis quantity spoken of here is less than a revius. Not only that, but the wine combines with the bread to create a total of an olive quantity, and that would be enough to represent a nazirus violation. V'chayev al hayayin b'fnei atzmo, v'al ho'anovim b'fnei atzmon, v'al ha'chartzonim b'fnei atzmon, v'al zogin b'fnei atzmon. One would be in violation if he eats an olive quantity of grapes alone, an olive quantity of chartzanim alone. We'll wait a little while till we translate that word, and likewise zogim, we'll wait till we a little while till we get to that. And as the Mishnah says, if you eat any one of these things alone, an olive quantity of it, you will be in violation. If we take a look at the Tosfos at the top, v'chayv al hayayin b'fnei atzmo v'anovim b'fnei atzmon v'al zogin b'fnei atzmon, nira de'ikir chidush, the main revelation, l'tana kama, of this first opinion in the Mishnah, bo lomar chayv al hazogin b'fnei atzmon imocha levad min hazogim, that if you ate a zogim alone, that would be enough to constitute a violation. Vahi also laflugi Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah is going to appear very shortly in the Mishnah, and he comes to argue v'omer de'enu chayav ad sheyochal shnei chartzanim v'zag, that there is no violation until you eat two chartzanim and a zag. The chartzanim heim hagarinim banovim, the zogim heim haklipa shelahem. Tosfos already reveals information we'll see later in the Mishnah, but according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, you would not be in violation until you eat two grape seeds and a grape peel. Umarbe chartzanim v'loshin rabim v'zog v'loshin yochid k'mefor shashas. The grammatical aspect of one being in the singular, chartzanim being in the plural and zag being in the singular, the Gemara will relate to that later. Now, we continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, ein chayav ad sheyochal shnei chartzanim v'zag. There would be no violation until you eat, in fact, two chartzanim and their zag. Eilu hein chartzanim ve'eilu hein zagim. What are chartzanim and what are zagim? So, regarding this, you'll see two approaches. First, you have Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Yossi. Hachartzanim eilu hachitzonim, hazagim eilu hapnimim, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda takes the approach that chartzanim are the grape peels, and zagim are the pnim, the inside, the grape seeds. Rabbi Yossi comes to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and he gives you a simon, a way of remembering. He says, shelo titeh, so that you don't make a mistake, kezug shel behema. Imagine the bell worn around the necks of animals. Ha-chitzon is zug, zagin, the outside, the peel. And this is a word that is common in Mishnah society, that the outside of the bell of the bell, if you will, there's a bell and a clapper. So the bell, the outside, the exterior, that's known as the zug. So that word reminds you of the word zag in the case of grapes. So zagin, according to Rav Yossi, is the peel, v'hapnimi, inball. The inner one, the chartzanim, is, in the case of a bell, is called, or what in English we call it, the clapper, that's called the inball. And personally, I remember that just by the word inball in English. If you break that into two words, you get in, like inside, and ball, the ball-shaped clapper of bells. So you have the according to Rabbi Yossi, zagin is the grape peel, and the chartzanim is the grape seeds. Shloisha minim asurim benozir. There are three categories that are prohibited in the realm of a nozir, and v'chulei, and it said, v'hayotzei min hagefen. we can say the grape or vine products. On the side, we have a topic heading, which reads as follows: Machloikis Reb Elozer v'Rabbanon. There is a Tanaic disagreement between Reb Elozer and Rabbanon. Imanozir Ozer Avilu Berlin v'Luvin. Is a nozir prohibited in consuming even the leaves, grape leaves? And luvin are the tendrils, little spiral growths that you find emanating from the grape vine, from the grape branches. These are, you find them around in the vicinity of the clusters of grape. These are tendrils. The Reb Elozer, the Doresh Miut Veribui, Usser. According to Reb Elozer's method of exposition of scriptural verses, his method is called the Miut Veribui approach. We'll see an application of that when we get into the Gemara text. Miut being a limitation expression, and Riboy being an inclusionary expression. When you find them in proximity of one another, you will come to certain types of conclusions. And the Rabbonon, the Darshi Prat, Klalu Prat, Mutter, according to the Rabbonon, who have a different approach to the verses, who in this case will darshan the pasuk prat, meaning a detail, klal, meaning a general category. So you have detail and general, and followed by a detail, you will end up with the olin and luvin being mutter. In other words, not being included in the prohibition. So once again, according to Reb Elozer, whose approach to scriptural verses is through the miut v'riboy method, you're going to end up including as prohibited olin v'luvin, the leaves and tendrils. According to the Rabbanan, who darshan the psukim in the prat klalu prat fashion, you'll end up having them excluded from the Nazirus prohibition. There's another topic heading that follows, and it would not be premature for us to read it already. And we indicate that this topic will go to Lamed Hei Amud Beis, so that we'll be starting here a rather long topic. In the context of the Daf Yomi type shiur, we're going to probably end up breaking in the middle, which is not always the most advantageous method of learning sugyas, but that is the Daf Yomi convention. The sugya will continue to Lamed Hamid Beis, Midoy Shatur and Adreshes Bahen, the different methods of exposition of Torah verses, one Riboy Miuti Variboy, where you have phrases that are Riboy inclusionary, Miuti limiting, and then followed again with an inclusionary type expression. What is the result if you view the words thusly? And then you'll have another method, Prat Klalu Prat, where the verse is described as detail, general, and detail. So you can have, in effect, the same words, but one approach follows the Riboy Umiut method, the other Prat Uklal method. We should point out that these are all part of what we'll call an oral tradition. I believe it's safe to say that we learn these traditions as they appear in Talmudic literature, but these are not tools that are available to us today when we learn psukim in the Torah to on our own darshan expand upon verses using these tools, because the way to apply them and all, that's part of an oral tradition that the Tanoim knew, but we don't have that tradition anymore. We cannot innovate using those tools. Rather, we learn that which we have received from the Tanoim. You find, of course, this kind of drasha extensively. You find this in the Midrashim. We turn back to our Gemara, and our Mishnah had said that a Nazir is in violation if he eats, if he consumes hayyotzei min hagefen. And the Gemara infers, and you'll notice we have Roman numerals 1 and 2, there are two versions in how to apply the comment the Gemara is going to make, which you can see is dashed, underlined, masnisen delo karabalazer. There's a diagonal dashed underlining, the next line, where the Gemara declares that our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. So you have version 1, and then version 2, Iko di Amri. The Gemara. Hayyotze min hagefen in, there is a prohibition upon the Nazir to consume the yotze min hagefen, our gefen atzmo lo, the vine itself does not present a prohibition to the Nazir. Now, what do we mean by that? What do you mean the vine itself? So, we continue in the Gemara, and that will become clear very shortly. Masnisen delo karabalozer. Our Mishnah that says that Gefen Atzmo lo, or the Mishnah from which, through which we inferred Gefen Atzmo lo, would not be a violation. That is not in accordance with Rebbe Lozer. Desan Rebbe Lozer Omer, Afilu Erlin Veluvin B'mashma. He says that when the Torah prohibits the vine products, it is including the leaves and the tendrils. The leaves and the tendrils are said to be the vine itself. There is the that which emerges from the vine, the grape seeds, the grape peels, and all that is the produce of the vine. But the vine itself, the branches, which you wouldn't even think of eating, but even the leaves and the tendrils, which in fact, today I think it can be said there's a dish known as grape leaves. Grape leaves are used today in preparing different kinds of culinary products. Nevertheless, our Mishnah tells us that a Nazir who would consume Olin and Luvin would not be in violation. Rebbe Lazar says that is a Nazirus violation. Ika diamri lo asefa. There are those that that apply this observation that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Lazar based on the reading of the Seifa, the continuation of our Mishnah. What does it say there? Eino chayov ad sheyoychal min ha'novim kezayis. The Nazir is not in violation unless he eats an olive quantity of grapes. And we infer min ha'novim in mehagefen atzmo lo. There's a violation only if he eats from the grapes, to the exclusion of his eating from the vine itself. What do we mean, the vine itself? If he were to eat the olin or lulvin, he would not be in violation. Well, masnisen delo Rebbe Lazar, making a statement like that, that gefen atzmo lo, is not like Rebbe Lazar. Desan Rebbe Lazar omer, afilu olin veluvin b'mashma. According to Rebbe Lazar, even the olin and lulvin are b'mashma, included in the Torah's prohibition as far as the Nazir is concerned. But my komifligi, what's the basis of this controversy? Rebbe Lazar Dorish Ribuyu Mi'uti, Rebbe Lazar, who is more, or say, expansive in his restrictions, including Olin and Luvin, that is a function of his approach to the Psukim called the Ribuy Umiut method. Rabbonin, who are lenient, Darshi Kloli Uproti. And with their approach, they end up, we'll say, including less in the prohibition. Rebbe Lazar Dorish Ribuy Mu'uti, and now we present you with the Psukim. Maybe before we learn the text of the Gemara itself, let's glance at the side. We have in our marked Gemaras that appear on your screen, or maybe you have a copy of it, and of course, We highly advise to appreciate our Gemara marking Shiurim to access marked Gemaras. And if you don't have a marked Gemara, you might want to contact gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side, you can see we've written in Bamidbar, Perek Vov, Pasuk Gimel, which was followed by Pasuk Dalet. Let's read the Psukim together. Pasuk Gimel says, Miyayin v'shechor yazir, choymetz yayin v'choymetz shechor lo yishteh. V'chol mishras anovim lo yishteh, v'anovim lachim v'yaveshim lo yochel. In this pasuk, you can see a number of prohibited items for the nazir vis-a-vis his consumption. You see reference to wine, to chometz that you see in the pasuk is a reference to vinegar, say grape-based vinegar. He shall not drink that. And the soaked grapes, the grapes soaked, we saw before, reference to bread soaked in wine, and fresh grapes, and raisins, yevashim, dried grapes, raisins, he should not eat. Pasuk Dalet, kol yemei nizro, mikol asher ye'oseh, migefen, hayayin, mecharzanim, v'atzag, lo yochel. During his nazirus, anything that's made from the vine, and it mentions the chartzanim and zag, those two he shall not consume. So when you look at the pasuk, there's quite a few items are listed. You have the chometz yayin, you've got fresh grapes, and the raisins, and grape seeds, and grape peels. Now, after seeing the scriptures, the we call the written Torah, we now turn to our Gemara text for the oral Torah's approach to Torah Shebaal Peh on these psukim. The Gemara. We have underlined the names. Rabbi Lozer Doresh Ribi Umuti, Rabbonin Darshi Klali Uproti. Rabbi Lozer Doresh Ribi Umuti, and he breaks the pasuk down as follows. Miyayin Vesheicho Yozir, this is of course you can see from the beginning of pasuk Gimel, that is Mi'eit. In other words, there is a limitation in citing specific examples. For the yazir means the nazir shall avoid yayin and shechar. Yayin and shechar, we'll say for simplistic purposes, wine. The pasuk says mikol asher yasa migefen hayayin. Now you see the word mikol from everything, a very inclusionary expression. Everything made from the grapevine. Well, riba, that's an inclusionary term. Structurally then, what do we have? Mi'eit v'riba. Riba hakol. When you have a structure like this, where the pasuk starts out with a limiting type expression, and then is followed by an expansive expression, what that entitles us to do is to include, well, in this case, include everything. My riba, when you say include everything, what are you including? Riba kol mili. Oh, we're including all kinds of things that come from the grapevine. Well, if you're including everything, what about the fact that the pasuk does have a limitation expression? Where do you see any manifestation of limitation? My mi'eit, so what is limited, what's excluded? Mie shavishta, the branches, the actual, the wood of the grapevine, where Rebbe Lozer as well, who is very expansive, will say that the nazir would not be in violation if he eats the actual wood. But everything else, including leaves and tendrils, will result in a nazir violation. For Rabbonan Darshi Kloli Uproti. We have a framed section, and the reason that this framed section appears the way it does with a dashed frame is indicated on the side. We have a note by the. Do you see the starred note? Let's read it. In the Simanu Mizgeres Mikufkav, we've drawn a dashed brisa, a dashed, say, section. This section is not cited as a Tanaic source. There's no indication in the Gemara that this is an actual Tanaic source. It might very well be, but it's not cited as such. You don't have an introductory expression like Tanya or Tanu Rabbanon. Nevertheless, the framing here will make it easier when the Gemara later makes references back to this section. It represents, of course, a Tanaic school of thought. Rabbi Lezer, on the one hand, is a Tana, and now the Rabbanon, what is their approach? Rabbanon, also a school of Tanoim. What is their approach? Rabbanon dashi kol liyuprati, as follows. Miyayin v'shecha yozir, again, we're quoting from the same pasuk, that is prat, that is a detail. They are specific examples. Mikola shiyasa migefen ayayin, everything, from everything that comes forth from the grapevine, that's klal, that's a general statement. Mechartzanim v'adzag, now here you have a scriptural reference that we did not see Rebbe Lozer pay attention to. What does Rebbe Lozer do with this expression? We'll see the Gemara relates to that issue later on. But the Rabbanon, in the meantime, relate to Mechatzanim Azag, which is found in Pasuk Dalet, Chozar Uporat. Chatzanim Azag, the grape seeds, grape peels, is again a prat, a detail. So structurally, what do we have? Prat uklalu prat. You have a detail, followed by a general, followed again by a detail. I atodon elo ka'in haprat. This tells us that if you want to include things that are not mentioned in the pasuk, you are restricted, you're limited to examples of things that are similar to the details in the pasuk. Mahaprat mefurash pri upsoles pri. This will be explained later in the text. But in the meantime, we're saying just like the prat explicitly refers to a pri. Well, you saw in the pasuk the word anovim. Anovim are grapes, and psoles pri, yayin and chometz. The chometz, I should say. Let me emphasize chometz. Chometz is vinegar. Vinegar is the souring of the wine. So we call that psoles, meaning something that's. Not only is it a derivative, but it's something that's considered the waste, the undesirable. Undesirable, of course, is only in context. People do like vinegar, but it's the result of the souring, which is a negative idea, the souring of the wine. So the pasuk makes reference to wine, it makes reference to grapes, and it also makes reference to chometz. So just like the pasuk in its details contains a reference to pri and psoles pri, af kol pri upsoles pri, so to anything that has those characteristics. The Gemara will explain these things later, so the Gemara will be asking later on, what are you then in fact including? What are further examples of pri and psoles pri? We'll wait for that later. But you can't include everything. You include only things that are similar to the details already stated in the pasuk. We continue. Ima haprat mefurash pri gomur, af kol pri gomur. The prat, the detail that's stated in the pasuk, is pri gomur. Now, Rashi says, Af kol pri gomer velo dover acher velo guharki velo invin dichrin. Just like the prat is specified, maybe that's the only thing that is prohibited. So the Gemara continues. Amris, well, if you're going to say that second suggestion that we've labeled as bays, then im kain, if you're not going to include anything other than pre gamur, ma hiniach lo hakosuv b'mashmo shelo amrai, what then are you going to include that's not been already stated? When you have a structure like this of a prat, klal, uprat, the Torah is telling me, you know, you are to include something else beyond that which is spelled out. But if you're going to limit me to saying, well, just like the prat is pre-gomur, so to include other things that can be described as pre-gomur, what are you left to include that's not already been stated? The Gemara proves this. Anovim lachem v'yaveshim, when you say pre-gomur, what do you want to include? Fresh grapes and dried grapes? But see, those are already stated explicitly in the pasuk. Yayin v'chometz, do you want to come to include wine and vinegar? Well, Haksivi, those two are explicitly stated. Therefore, ha'ein olecho lodun k'loshen achron, we are not to pursue the second suggestion that we've labeled beis, ela k'loshen rishon, but rather the first approach. U'me'achar she'soifenu l'rabo is called davar. Well, if you're saying that we are going to include even things that are not stated in the pasuk, then ma talmud lomar mechartzanim vadzag. What is the need for the Torah to spell out the chartzanim and zag? Could I not have included them even without their being stated? The Tosfos comments on this. We look at the Tosfos, you find in the wide lines on the lower part of the page. What do you mean, why does the Torah write chartzanim and zag? You need them because they represent the final or the second prat. And we have a very specific construction. We have prat, klal, uprat. And if the pasuk would have been just prat, uklal, without the final prat, there would have been a totally different result. You need, for a structural and technical purpose, you need to have chartzanim and zag. So what's the question here? Yesh lomar dahochi pirusha, what the Braisa is asking here, or what this we'll call this Tanaic source or pseudo source is asking when it says matam chartzanim and zag, he says lichtoiv lekodem aklal. Why couldn't chartzanim and zag be stated before the phrase Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin? In other words, you have already prats, you have specific examples, you've got Yayin V'Shechar mentioned, so together with Yayin V'Shechar and the Mishras Anovim Lachem Anovim Lachem Yaveshim, why not have right together with them the Chatzan Menzag? Why is it the Chatzan Menzag placed where it is? Umeshani, and the Gemara will answer, Loi malach kol mokum shata moitze prat uklal pirush ba'almo v'chein hocha gabi nozir. Wherever you find a Torah structure of prat followed by klal, prat meaning detail followed by general, lulei lo nichtav chatzin v'zag shehu prat acharon, if you wouldn't have had something like chartzan zag, meaning again detail following the klal, iato rashoi loduno the liashvo kein haprat, you would not have said that, well, what we're going to include is only things that are similar to the prat. Hello, nase klal moisif ala prat. If you would have been left with simple klal, or a prat and then klal, if you would have had just that without a final prat, you know what would have happened? You would have included everything. V'hayinu marbinon olin v'luvin nami. We would have included, even as prohibited, the leaves and the tendrils. Ha'shiyifuch kosuv prat achar haklal k'derech sheporat loch benozir. The idea of, let's say, limiting how much we're going to include, that wouldn't have happened until you have a prat following the klal, like we see here by Nozir. So now we turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara asked, well, once we're going to be including other things, why then is Chatzanim and Zag stated on Tosus explained, why is it stated after the klal? Answer, Lo Maloch, Komokum Shata Moitse Prat Uklal. Wherever you find a posuk that's structured like that, Iatora Shoy Le Moshchav Leduno Keina Prat, Elanase Klal Moisef Ala Prat, that if you would have just Prat Uklal, you wouldn't limit your inclusion to things that are similar to the details only. Elanase Klal Moisef Ala Prat means the Klal would have been assigned to expand beyond the details, beyond those things that are similar to the detail, until, in other words, you would go, continue to expand and expand and include more things, even if the things you're including aren't similar to the details, until you have a cap on it, and that cap is in the form of an additional prat that follows the cloud. Therefore, if the question was, as the Tosus explained, if the question was, why is Chatzanim and Zag featured after the klal, the answer is, as a result of this additional prat appearing, we put a cap on how much we are going to include in the Nozir restrictions. At this point, the Gemara goes back to cite things mentioned earlier. You'll notice we have a diamond marking highlighting Omar Mar quotes from above. We also have little marks to the side of the Gemara text enabling you to more easily access where these quotes are coming from. So above, if you notice the arrow, we had mentioned above Omar Mar. Ma prat mefurish pri upsolis pri avko pri upsolis pri. The Gemara said that just like the detail is pri and psolis pri, so too whatever we're going to include would have to be either pri or psolis pri. So pri equals envy. Pri is a reference to pri means the fruits. That's a reference to grapes. The pasuk said the nozer cannot consume grapes. So pre envy, those are the grapes. So this pre mahi, what do you mean by the waste or the byproduct of the pre? Chometz. That's the vinegar, as we explained earlier. It's the souring of the wine. Af kol pre mahi. Well, we were entitled to include other aspects of vines that are called pri. What do you mean by that? What are you including? Answer, guharki. What is guharki? So if you look in Rashi, you'll see one explanation. If you look in Tosfos, you'll see another explanation. The Tosfos' explanation, three lines from the bottom, is bosar. Bosar is a reference to grapes, but at a stage that's early in their development, prior to, we'll say, prior to full development, bosar. So, according to this, the nozir would be prohibited in eating grapes at the bosar stage of development. Af kol dipsolas pri. We also said that, just like the pasuk mentioned, chometz, the vinegar, other things that are psolas pri, I'm also going to include in the nozir prohibition. What are you referring to? Mahi, what is that? Omar of Kana, Lasie, Envy Dichrin, Rashi says, Anovim Shisliu. The Tosfos says the same thing. These would be wormy grapes. So a nozir, even if the grape is wormy, the nozir would be prohibited in consuming them. Of course, he's pursuing even without the worms. The worms represent a separate halachic problem which we don't have to get involved with now. But these are certainly undesirable grapes. Hence, we can define them as psoles pri. Psoles, once again, is a word indicating the waste, the undesirable. The ad zog. What does the Torah intend for us to include by it having cited that the nozir is restricted ad zog? Amar Ravina lasiye de bein habeinayim. That comes to include bein habeinayim. What does bein habeinayim mean? So Rashi has a pirush here. He says bein habeinayim oisid dover akoru shebein azag v'chartzon shemimenu nasin shmorim. It's some type of, it could be the jelly-like substance that clings to grape seeds. Korosh means congealed. So that's a congealed substance that's between the grape seed and the grape skin, obviously not the actual grape meat itself, but it's that jelly-like or congealed-like substance. Rashi says from that, shmorim are made. Shmorim, if you want to talk about shmorim production, it might be the equivalent of what we would call yeast today. Shmorim is a substance that would be used for fermentation purposes. There's another approach that you find in the Tosfos that's on, appears in Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the second line from the top. There's a Tosfos Dimas Debena Benayim. There is a Rabbeinu Tam who was found. We've marked the Tosfos, the number 2 explanation, 4 lines from the very top. Rabbeinu Tam appears and he says it's a reference to very small grapes that never really fully ripen. These small grapes are found between the large mature grapes. So that's Bein HaBeinayim, literally, that are found in the middle. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Mar. Here we have a quote. Again, you can see the star to the side. You can see where this is coming from. This is actually a long quote. It takes you till the top line on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Omar Mar. Ima haprat mefurash pri gomor af kol pri gomor. The second possibility mentioned above is just like the prat is pre-gomor, so too will include only things that we would call pre-gomor, complete fruit, complete pre. Well, Amris Yimkei Ma'aniyach HaKosu Mashmo Shalomro, if you're going to say that that's what you're included, whatever you might think is pre-gomor is already stated explicitly. What has been left unsaid? Anovim Lachem V'Yaveshim Oksivi, fresh and dried grapes, those are stated explicitly. Yayin v'chometz oksivi, wine and vinegar, those are stated explicitly. And we're looking for inclusion of something that hasn't been mentioned explicitly. Therefore, to say that the prat uklal featured in the pasuk is coming to include only pre-gomor, forget that approach. Rather, ha'ein olech olodun koloshen achron ele koloshen rishon, we're going to follow the first suggested approach, meaning anything that's pre and psolas pre. What does the Torah intend by writing chartzanim and zag? And we explained earlier, the Tosfos is pshat, why does the Torah write chartzanim and zag after the klal and not together with the other prats that are mentioned in the pasuk? Lomar loch, to tell us the following principle. Kol mokom shatamotzei prat uklal, wherever you would find just a prat followed by a klal, you wouldn't limit that which you're including to those things that are similar to the prat. Elonase klal moisev ala prat. The klal represents an inclusion and addition to things that are beyond the beyond the prat, beyond things that are characteristic of the detail. Shifrach kosuv, you will continue to include and include until the pasuk follows the klal with another prat. and we continue at the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, Kederech Shepora Loch Ben Nazir, as you find in the case of the Nazir. And what was the prat that followed the klal? Mechartzanim v'ad zag. So the appearance of that phrase, Mechartzanim ad zag, according to the Rabbonon, has a very specific function, and that is to, in effect, limit how much we are going to include in the given topic. In this case, how much are we going to include in the Nazir prohibitions? The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a double underline marking on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We've written these double underlines highlight Tanoim, Delo Dorshim, Mechatzin Matzag, Lame Prat, Klalu Prat, Minayin Lohem, Midazu. We have Tanoim that learn something else from Chartzan Matzag. Well, according to those Tanoim, where are they going to learn this idea of Prat, Klalu Prat, the idea of a limitation, that a detail that follows a general, thereby limiting the expansion powers of the klal? Where did they get it from? So the Gemara. Ula Rebbe Lozer ben Azaria de komoikim lahay mechartzanim ve'adzag lomar. According to Lozer ben Azaria, used this part of the pasuk mechartzanim ve'adzag to teach me sheinu chayvat shiyochal shnei chartzanim ve'adzag, that one is not, a nozir is not in violation until he eats two seeds and their peel. Prota mino lay. Where does he learn the idea expressed by the Rabbonon about the prat that follows a klal? Two approaches. Number one, sovar lo k'Rebbe Lozer d'dorash mi'vribo. Well, Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah doesn't have to find anything like that, because his approach to the psukim anyway is different. It's the ribui umiut approach, the miut v'ribo approach, which we explained earlier is a different approach to the psukim, a different track, we'll say, and with its own, we'll say, powers of inclusion. So if Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah takes the miyat v'riba approach, he doesn't need to find an additional prat following a klal, because he doesn't expound on psukim following the pratu klal method to begin with. V'iboy esema kirabonon. You might very well say that Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah subscribes to the Rabbonon and their tradition on prat uklal. If that's the case, how does Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah discover the idea of a prat following the klal? He says, I'm going to use this very pasuk. Di'isaka daitoch ki de'omar Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah, if you're to think that v'chatzana mazag is here only for Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah's teaching, namely, that there's no violation until he eats two grape seeds and their skin, let the Torah write Chartzan Mazag, which are also details. Let the Torah have written it together with the other details that were mentioned earlier. Why did the Torah take these details, Chartzan Mazag, and write them after the general, the Mikol HaShe'asim Yigevan Hayayin? Why write it so much later? It's found, Chatzam Zag is found in Pasuk Dalid. The other details were found in Pasuk Gimel. So why was Chatzam Zag positioned where it is? Shma mino lemedaine beklal uprat. It's there to represent the prat that follows the klal, so that we understand, even according to Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah, the Chartzan Mazag represents the Torah placing of a cap on how much we're going to include. V'eima kulei lahachi hudasa. Maybe, in fact, the Chartzan Mazag appearance in the pasuk is only for that purpose, and doesn't reveal anything about two grape seeds and the skin. Well, im kain lichtov, if the chatzan mezag is not here to teach me as well about the quantity, then grammatically let the Torah write o shnei chatzanim, o shnei zagim, o chatzan mezag. Grammatically, it should have maintained the plural for both chatzanim and the zagim as well, or the singular, just like zag appears in the singular, the chatzan also should have appeared in the singular. In the plural, fiat zag in the singular, shma mino, lemidrash bay, one, klal uprat, v'ikonami, lemidrash bay, ad shiyochal shnei chatzanim v'zag. We have a right to derive both teachings. One, well, as a result of the positioning, we learn this idea of a prat that follows a klal, and it is therefore, and the concept of the limitation of the inclusion powers of the klal. And as far as the quantity is concerned, that we can learn from the grammar, where you see a mixture of plural chatzanim and the singular zag, leading to the teaching of Rav Elazar ben Azariah that there wouldn't be a nazirus violation until you eat two chatzanim and one grape peel. As we mentioned earlier, this is a long sugya, and by virtue of our being in a daf yomi mode, so we'll pause here, recognizing that we are in the middle of a long discussion, and Mitzvah Hashem pick up with another tana, and the question of the question is directed at Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, who approaches psukim with the miut v'ribua method. Where will he learn the idea of a prat that follows a klal, serving as a limitation on the klal inclusionary capabilities? Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.